All right. So just by way of review, a little bit what we talked about last time is we went over the meaning of the word Lord, what the different meanings are that are intrinsic to the word, where it came from, and what connotations it has. Basically, Lord carries the senses of sovereignty, supreme authority. A lord is the ruler of a household or a land. That would be his domain. He is a provider, a caretaker, a nurturer, and he's also the keeper of an agreement or a covenant. We looked at how God, in the beginning, he created the heaven and the earth, and he set man up to be the Lord over his creation. He gave man dominion over the earth and over all the works of his hands. And we also saw that it was Jesus Christ who was the first man. He became the captain of our salvation by taking death and putting death under his feet. Amen. And that was the one thing that was missing. All other things, God had put them under the feet of man, all the fish of the sea, all the fowl of the air, all under the feet of man. Man has dominion over this planet. We could see that. But there was one thing that death had man under his feet. Until Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man and put death under his feet. And now in his body, we can have death under our feet as well. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So we saw that Jesus Christ is the Lord and also the Savior. And one other thing that we saw is that Christianity itself is at the intersection of two main things. One is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The other one is his lordship. If you take away either one of those things, you cannot have Christianity. And that's why the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It takes both of those things. They're both very important. And then the last thing that we looked at last time was the importance when you confess Jesus Christ as Lord. It's not just something you say lightly. It's not just something that you call him. When you do that, you're swearing allegiance to him. You're saying, "He's my Lord. He has all authority. He has got all power. His word is law. His word is truth. And I need to listen to him. I need to believe what he says and do what he commands." That's what it means for him to be the Lord. And the last thing that we read last time was in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. He says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now, I'm not going to read that again today, but we are going to look at a parallel passage in the book of Matthew chapter 7. And oftentimes you'll see parallel passages in the Gospels that are similar, but they'll be a little bit different, or there'll be a little bit extra in one of them. So in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So he's saying, it's not enough to say to me, "Lord, Lord." The ones that enter in, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Right.
Verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, And the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. See, the scribes were people that copied the Bible, or they copied religious texts. Okay? Many of you have probably been to a Bible study before. You get people together, and they've read a passage of Scripture, and, well, you know, this is what I saw in the passage, and I think it means this, and you know what? The Lord can use that. He does. He uses the members of His body to minister to one another. But there's something different when the Lord says something. He's got authority that's not like the scribes. Why? Because He's the Lord. He says in the book of Deuteronomy, God said, "My doctrine shall drop down as the dew." The doctrine that Jesus said, He's like, "This is not my doctrine. This is the doctrine of Him that sent me." Right. He's got the authority because He's the Lord. His Father is the Lord. And like we saw last week, He's a son over His own house. This is His house. Jesus Christ is the one that builded the house because He's God. And He's a son over His own house. He's the Lord. Amen. Let me just call your attention back to verse 21. We're going to see this theme throughout what we're looking at today, where He says, "He that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven, those are the ones that shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 22, He says, "Many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name have cast out devils, and in Thy name have done many wonderful works?" And there's a lot of people in the world that do a lot of things in the name of Jesus. You know what they don't do? The will of the Father. You know why? Because they won't believe the words of Jesus Christ and do what He says. Verse 23, "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, ye that work iniquity." Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Just a few pages over. Matthew chapter 12. And Jesus had a human mother. He had human brothers and sisters that were related to Him by blood. They were His mother and His brethren according to the flesh. And in verse 47, "One said unto Him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But He answered and said unto them," answered and said unto him that told Him, "Who is My mother? And who are My brethren?" And He stretched forth His hand toward His disciples and said, "Behold, My mother and My brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of My Father which is in heaven, the same is My brother and sister and mother." Again, it's about doing the will of the Father which is in heaven. Now, who does He say this about? It says, verse 49, "He stretched forth His hand toward His disciples and said, Behold, My mother and My brethren." Why? Because who are His disciples? Jesus said, "If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." Amen. See, His word that He commands is all about doing the will of the Father. That's why these things are all tied together. To believe on Jesus Christ, you have to also continue in His word. That's part of the faith that was delivered to the saints, is to continue in His word, you'll be doing the will of the Father. And that is what makes you part of His family, because that's how He is. He came. He is the Word of God. And He became flesh, dwelt among us. And He, as the Son of God, is giving us the power, the way, to also become sons of God, to be His children just like He is. But it's about doing the will of the Father. That's a huge point that Jesus would make. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, it says that the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How do you have eternal life? It's about doing the will of God. That's really what it is. I find it interesting that so many people in the world, when somebody dies, they say, oh, he passed away. She passed away. That's what happens in the world. The world passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's eternal life. This is eternal life, Jesus says, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You know, it's interesting, though, in this passage that we just read in Matthew 7, Jesus doesn't just talk about knowing Him. He talks about, I never knew you. What's He talking about? He says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. See, there's a connection here. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read verse 16 to 22. And Paul tells Timothy, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You know what that is? That's the word of error that's going to lead you away from the word of truth that he talks about in verse 15. See, the word of Christ is the word of truth. He's going to give you good doctrine, the way that you should walk in. That's the way of the Lord. It's called the way of righteousness. But profane and vain babblings, that's a word that's going to take you the other way toward ungodliness. Verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, or like a cancer. That's kind of where the word comes from. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Pay attention to verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. You don't want to be a vessel like this unto dishonor, folks. That would be like Pharaoh. Okay? God used him for a purpose, but it's not the purpose that he wants to use us for. Amen? He made us for his pleasure. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's what we talked about last week, calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. You're not saying, Lord, Lord, just because you think that'll get you into heaven. You're saying, Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's a pure heart. And when you call on Him out of a pure heart, guess what you're going to do? You're going to continue in His Word because you're going to follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Let's go to John chapter 10. Like I said, we're going to look at the leadership of Jesus Christ as Lord. Start in John chapter 10. This is an amazing chapter. This is where Jesus calls Himself the Good Shepherd who enters in by the door. And He says He's also the door. And to take it one step further, He's also the Lamb. My sister actually wrote a song about this once, just about the many different facets of Jesus Christ, that He's both the Shepherd and the Lamb. So just starting off in verse 1, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And again, like I said, Jesus goes on to explain that He's the door of the sheep. He's the good shepherd that giveth His life for the sheep. But notice that it says, He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And it says, when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them. And one thing that I will say about the leadership of Jesus Christ is that He leads by example. He's not just sitting up on His throne and looking down at His servants and, "Hey, you, go over there, do this. You, go over there, do that." Jesus Christ came down here to be at our level where we are. The Bible says that God made Him a little lower than the angels. That's where we are as humans, a little lower than the angels. He got down here and He got His hands dirty. He went first. He led by example. And let me tell you, it's not an easy road that Jesus walked. Jesus followed that road all the way to Calvary. He died on that cross. That is the way that Jesus went. And He wants us to follow Him that way. It's not an easy road, folks. But we can have confidence in this, that Jesus Christ the Lord led the way. He went first. We're not going into the unexpected. We're following Him by faith. This is pretty neat. Let's go to Numbers chapter 27. There's so much that we could go over in John 10. But I love this in Numbers 27, just while we're on the topic. Numbers 27, verse 15. It says, "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd." Wow, doesn't that sound just like Jesus Christ in John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd, who leads them around, brings them in and out? Look what God says in verse 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. Wow. See, what makes this so amazing is that the name Joshua is from Hebrew. That's how we get that name Joshua. To take that same name and bring it through Greek instead, it's the name Jesus. They're actually the same name. He's basically calling out here, hey, God, set a man over the congregation because there are sheep that have no shepherd. He says, I've chosen a man. His name is Jesus. That's what he's saying here. If you go to the book of Acts, chapter 7, when Stephen is telling his story right before he gets stoned, he actually refers to Joshua and calls him Jesus. Why? Because it's the same name. God's saying way back here in Numbers who the shepherd is going to be. I find that very interesting. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Again, talking about how the Lord Jesus Christ leads by example. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says this, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. By the way, this verse doesn't end with a period. It ends with a colon because he's about to list out the steps. Verse 22, who did no sin. Yes, folks, you read that correctly. Not only did Jesus Christ do no sin, but that's part of the steps that he wants us to follow in. Okay? Yeah, we're supposed to do no sin. We're supposed to. That's the path that God wants us to walk in Jesus Christ. Will we have to sin? No, we don't have to. But, it says in 1 John, if any man sin, it's still in the realm of possibility, folks, that we could sin. We ought not to. We ought to follow the Lord and do no sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he shed his blood for a reason, for a purpose. And that's so, if we do sin, we're not supposed to, but if we do, that's not the end of the story, folks. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, if we walk in the light with him. Amen. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You know, one thing that Jesus said, sometimes Jesus said some pretty hard things. They were pretty hard for people to swallow. But Jesus would say, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He wasn't a deceiver. He always said the truth. He always spoke the truth, no matter how hard it was. Neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. He didn't take it personally. You know, when people are calling him names, when people are putting him down, when people are spitting in his face, he didn't take it personally because he wasn't like, well, my life is so great. I just need to make sure I'm comfortable and everything's just perfect for me and I get everything that I want. No, he said, you know what? I'm here to do the will of my Father, and I'm willing to go through anything for His will to be done. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Yeah, that's still part of the steps that we're to follow in. Jesus Christ is the Lord and He's the leader. He did this, leaving us an example so that we could do likewise. That's what it means when the Bible says, as ye have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Okay? It's not just about Jesus the figure that lived 2,000 years ago. He did die for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's not the end of the story, folks. That's Jesus Christ the Lord. But now we are to receive Him and to walk in Him the same way. And He left us this example. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, be it far from Thee, Lord, this shall not be unto Thee. Lord, we're not going to let this happen to You. We're Your servants. We're gonna keep You safe. And Lord, you know, if this would happen, if You go into Jerusalem, I don't know, maybe we'll go somewhere else. Lord, this not going to happen to You. He's thinking like a man. He's thinking like, hey, I'm a man. I've got this life. I want to preserve it. I want to have a good time. Right? That's how we think, right? Verse 23, but He turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind Me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto Me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You know what Jesus savored? The things which be of God. We're to follow in that example, to savor the things which be of God, not the things which be of men. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for your soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Amen. It's almost like counterintuitive. He says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. You know why? Because that way, it might seem like it's not, like I said, counterintuitive. It doesn't seem very straightforward. If I lose my life, wait a minute, I'm going to save it? I'm going to find it? Yeah, because losing your life is in God's will. He wants you to lose the life that's yours so you can embrace the life that's His. No, Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And His life and His will was all about what pleases the Father. I want to do His will. You see, He's the Lord. He's got everything all figured out. And if I want life, I know, like Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus knows what he's talking about. He's the Lord. So we follow him. And he went first. He didn't just tell us to go die. He said, you know what? I'm going to go die to save you. And I'm going to leave you an example so you can walk in my steps and know that it's more worth it to please God than it is to please yourself. There's a better end. As Jesus is giving us this example, he says he's the Lord. He says this in John 13. He says, you call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, for so I am. But Jesus didn't come down here and just have everybody cater to him. He came down to serve, and he came to show us how to serve. He didn't come down here as God and say, hey, everybody, I'm God. Look at me, worship me. He came down here as the Son of God so that he could teach us to be sons of God too. See, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. He's our head. He's our Lord. You know, the Bible also says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, that Christ has a head. The head of Christ is God. And in all things, Jesus Christ pleased his head to show us how we can please our head. Amen? It's this chain of authority that he has. The Bible says throughout the Old Testament that Jesus is the arm of the Lord. Isaiah 53, it says, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You know, in the future, when Jesus Christ reigns over this planet as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Bible says, his arm shall rule for him. See, Jesus is the arm of the Lord, and he reaches down into the world to do the will of God. And now, you know what we are? We're the body of Christ. Why is that? So that he, as our head, can tell us what to do, and we can do his will in this world. That's why we're his body. That's what it means. Let's go to John chapter 20. Almost done here, but we're going to read a couple more things. John chapter 20, verse 21. This is Jesus talking to his disciples after his resurrection. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Keep that in mind. Let's turn to John chapter 5. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Again, Jesus is leading by example as the Lord. John chapter 5. We'll start in verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. And already through this passage, you can just see that it's filled with the lordship of Christ, which he received by inheritance from the Father. That the Son should be honored just like the Father. The Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them. Even so, the Son quickeneth whom he will. The Father's committed all judgment to the Son. Verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, that's because he's speaking the Father's word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Again, I say, Jesus is leading us by example. You know why? Because when we go out into the world, people get a chance to hear our word, but you know what? We're speaking His word. And you know who they have to believe on? They have to believe on He that sent me. That's Jesus. So you can see how He's leading us in that example. You just go to one more place and then we'll finish up here. Amen. John chapter 12. And verses 44 to 50. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." Folks, that's when he came 2,000 years ago. He didn't come to judge the world. He came to save the world. But you know what else? You know who Jesus is? Jesus is the Word of God. Verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Folks, we've got a Lord. We've got a commission. Let's do likewise. Amen.